you will find the word on my spirit this evening in the book of Genesis, chapter 32. We'll read just a few words in verse 24. And Jacob was left alone. The book of Genesis, chapter 32, part of the 24th verse. I'll read the whole verse. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. How often in the Word of God we read of his dear people being in a similar situation to Jacob, alone. And perhaps you're alone this evening, walking a solitary path. Moses knew it in the backside of the desert, didn't he? A lonely path. Joseph did in the prison. And so did Daniel in the lion's den. So did Peter in prison. So did the Apostle Paul in the castle. And so we might go through the Word of God. And in varied ways, they were like Jacob, left alone. Well, what was happening with Jacob? God had clearly spoken to him and told him to return to Canaan, the land of his fathers, the place he'd promised. He wasn't walking in a path unknown to God or a path of disobedience. And yet as he tried to leave Mesopotamia, Laban did all he could to stop him. And now he comes toward the land of Canaan where God would have him. And Esau comes out and does what he can to stop him. So he was beset both sides. Laban trying to stop him, he couldn't prevail. And now his brother Esau, understandably, comes out with 400 men. So he is in an awful place, a straight fix. As he came on his way, verse 1, and Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. God was still with him. There was that wonderful promise at Bethel. I will not leave thee. I wonder if Jacob had not called that to mind. But here, God comes again. A touch from heaven. Help in the way. Child of God, perhaps that's what you feel like this evening. Something from heaven, something for your soul. Well, he journeyed on, and it wasn't very long before he was told, he sent messengers, rather, to Esau. It seemed that poor old Jacob's heart was troubled. He wondered, what would happen concerning his brother? It deceived him, and he had indeed. It supplanted him, he had indeed. He fled. He had to flee before his own folly to Bethel, didn't he? There God met with him. So this poor, anxious child of God, he sends the messengers, and they come back and say, he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him. Then Jacob was greatly afraid. And well, he might be. Jacob knew what he'd done. Jacob knew how he'd sinned. Jacob knew how he'd supplanted. And it troubled him. You know, old sins can often trouble a child of God. Often cause an anxious thought. The hymn writer says, doesn't he, when past fences pain my eyes, and I rather think they did with dear old Jacob as he was returning. He turns to prayer. Verse 9, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, which saidst unto me, return unto thy country, to thy kindred, and I'll deal well with thee. He pleads the word of God in this troubling path. But then he begins to plan and to scheme. He sends the presents over, gets them all ready to try and appease, as he said, his brother. You know, beloved friends, praying and planning, they don't work together very well, if at all. Jacob, are you going to lean totally on your God? Or are you going to trust in your own schemes? What's it going to be? It's a picture of us. I don't point a finger at Jacob, because the best are prone to it. I'll pray, and he prayed a beautiful prayer for deliverance from the hand of his brother Esau. I fear him, lest he come and smite me and the mother. I fear my life is in the balance. Then he begins to plan and to make his scheme as to how he'll appease him. Planning and scheming. Surely grace will teach us to lean on Christ. Thy whole dependence on him fix. That's the thing. And you know, sometimes we scarce know we're doing it. We scarce realise that we're praying away and then making some plan. We're asking the Lord to do everything and try and do something ourselves. Well, dear old Jacob is a picture of us. God was still Jacob's God. Well, he sent forth his droves. Why, if you turn over to the next chapter, how did they meet? Did Esau come with his sword? Did he come to kill him as he feared? It's easy for us to say it, but Jacob, he's going to fall on your neck. He's going to kiss you. There'll be reconciliation. That's what's going to happen, Jacob. All this planning and scheming, your brother doesn't want any of it. He's a wealthy man. You see how wrong we can get in our thoughts at times. Well, Jacob, he put his plan into operation. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants, his 11 sons, and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. Now, he's alone. And Jacob was left alone. If you will, in the providence of God, the Almighty had brought him just where he wanted him, on his own. And I'm sure a few of you, perhaps in your little way, know what it is for the Lord to bring you to a place where you're on your own, to instruct us, to teach us, to appear for us, to do that we cannot do. So here we have Jacob alone. Now, he's no arm of flesh to lean on. He's nobody to turn to talk to. They've gone. He sent them for their safety. But the Lord was to have dealings with Jacob. And really, it's on my spirit this evening to look a little, as we're helped, at what happened when Jacob was alone. What happened when the Lord brought him in this path of providence, right where he wanted him, on his own? It's a wonderful thing that the Lord still has personal dealings with his people when we're alone. What happened? Well, firstly, there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Why, this man, some have said it's just an angel. I believe it's one of the Old Testament appearances of the Lord. In fact, Jacob says later, doesn't he, I've seen God face to face. And some people have spoken almost as if it was Jacob that did the wrestling. And no doubt he wrestled. But what happened? It's a simple language. There wrestled a man with him. And there's a world of difference between a man wrestling with me, or you, and you wrestling with the man. Divinity laid hold of him. The man took him. It's a simple language, but that's what happened. There wrestled with him a man. As I said, the Lord had him where he wanted him, and he took him. Jacob would never have wrestled were it not for that. This is sovereign grace, sovereign mercy. The Lord laid hold of him, and the Lord took him. And the God that laid his hand on him put the strength in him. That's what happened. No man can wrestle like Jacob all night in his own strength. Well, wasn't it William Gadsby who was so offended that an old member fell asleep in chapel, in the Lord's house as a young believer? And he went home and vowed that he would pray all night. If I remember correctly, he dropped on his knees by his bed and began to pray. He said the next thing, I think, was a tap on his shoulder. And his landlady was there with a cup of tea to wake him up in the morning. He had to learn by experience that he couldn't do that in and of himself. So when the Lord lays hold of a man, that makes the difference. Why, the man that laid hold of him was far stronger than he was, far mightier than he. They wrestled with him, a man, until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him. How Jacob wrestled. What happened? He touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. What does that mean? Well, Jacob was made to realize that the man was stronger than he was. And also made to realize he was a poor, weak man. And a poor, helpless man. He was made to realize he was in the flesh. I go to Corinthians, where the Apostle Paul, if you remember, he speaks of being in the seventh heaven, seeing and uttering things that it was not lawful to speak of. And you read down the chapter and get to the bottom. What does he say? I was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger from Satan to buffet me. There's a balancing. And Paul knew he was in the flesh. He'd got a thorn in it. It was buffeting him. What it was, nobody knows. Except this, probably. It was a fleshly thing. A carnal thing. And so Jacob. Yes, it is a time of great blessing. But the man of God was made to realize. He was a poor, weak sinner. You know, when God has great dealings with a man, he'll bring the man to realize what he is. That we're in the flesh. That we're weak. And yet, despite that, he wrestled on. In his weakness. Because the man was holding him. The apostle again said, I can do all things through Jesus Christ that strengtheneth me. Here's the secret of it all. The secret of wrestling prayer. The secret of a real religion is Christ. Why, when he saw that he prevailed not, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And he went on and said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. He wouldn't let him go. The interesting, remarkable thing in all that took place is this, to me anyway. What about Esau? What about your life? Now it's Christ only. None but Christ. That's the thing. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in a poor wrestling sinner's heart. Why, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. That's what he wanted. The blessing of the Lord that maketh rich. That blessing to which he addeth no sorrow. Those beautiful words. Whom the Lord blesseth, he's blessed forever. That's what he wanted. Here, Jacob pours out his heart. He just wanted the Lord Jesus to bless him. Have you come like that this evening, poor sinner? Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, like Jabez, the Lord's blessing upon him. Why, he goes on the Lord to speak to him and said, thou shalt no more be called Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince thou hast power with God and with men and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said unto him, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. Jacob obtained the blessing. You know, if we have a real religion, if we have a religion wrought by the Holy Spirit in our soul, the time will come, child of God, if it hasn't, when this will be the important thing, for the Lord to bless us with his great salvation. For the Lord to come and assure us sweetly and feelingly in our souls that all is well. That's the point. And I believe that's what Jacob was seeking after. That's what Jacob obtained. That's what the Lord blessed him with. So on the one hand, we see the weaknesses of Jacob. We see that he was but a poor sinner. But on the other hand, we see the hand of grace working in his heart. Does that suit you this evening, poor sinner? On the one hand, do you have to say, I can't point a finger at Jacob? And nor can we. But on the other hand, oh, how you feel deeply in your soul to need the Lord Jesus Christ himself to bless you, and none but Christ. My mind goes to Peter the evening before the glorious day of atonement. Remember the Lord washing the disciples' feet. I don't want to go into that in detail, but this point, when he came to Peter, Peter objected. When Peter realized the vital necessity of it, not only my hands, but my feet, he heard the Lord say this: "Except I wash thee, thou hast no part in me." Peter, this is something that's vital. And it's the same here with Jacob. It's just one thing for the Lord to bless me. And what is it that the poor sinner wants to be blessed with? Pardon? Forgiveness? Assured of eternal life? Assured of everlasting happiness? They're the things that a living soul, an awakened sinner, is brought to long for and to pray for the Lord to bless me. You want it from heaven. Do you know, my mind goes back 40 odd years. One of the poor, guilty, wretched sinner. I was seeking after peace and pardon and forgiveness. And oh, how it was so impressed on me. It must come from Jesus. I remember shutting up all my good books. Everything, there was nothing wrong with the good books, but shutting them all up. Falling before the Lord. And asking the dear Lord to bless me from heaven. I wanted it from him. And I wanted to feel it in my soul. And I wanted to feel the guilt of sin and the curse of sin taken away. And the misery of it all. And only the Lord can do that. And have us alone with him as we plead for it. And pour out our hearts. And open our hearts. And confess our sin. And mourn over sin. And weep over sin, but mourning over sin, and weeping over sin, and confessing sin. Yes, they're all part of repentance, but they don't take it away. They cannot. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no respite know? All for sin cannot atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, that I might feel it. You might say this evening, what happened to you? The Lord heard a wretch's prayer. On one occasion, I can remember this, still remember it. Walking along the streets in Luton, a wretched sinner, mourning over it, confessing it, crying for help. These words, they dropped from heaven right into my heart. His visage, so marred, more than any man. We tasted, drunk, redeeming love, precious blood. Oh, the sweet feeling sense of pardon. I had a dear friend with me. He said to me, I looked for my sin, but I can't see them. Beloved, the blessing was so great, I didn't have any. 1,000 sins as black as hell are swallowed up, oh love, in thee. There's the blessing, even life, evermore. And the Lord brings his dear people to that spot, that solitary place, has dealings with them. Beloved, there is nothing to be compared, nothing to be compared with the love of Christ shed abroad in our hearts, heaven assured, nothing like it. They're happy days. Yes, I know they don't last long, beloved. Jacob had to go on, didn't he, through many trials. But here he obtained the blessing. Perhaps that's what you pray for this evening. May the dear Lord help you to pray on. Pray on, beloved. Seek the Lord. May you know that spirit that the Lord gave to Jacob. May we know often what it is for the Lord to lay his hand upon us. Except that happens, we're powerless, we're weak, we're feeble, we're wretched, we're undone, until he comes and takes us by his hand, the hand of grace, and works in our hearts, and causes us to wrestle with him. You may have come this evening, but pass on a little. Jacob was there with a hard cause. Perhaps you have one this evening. Perhaps that word suits you well. The cause that is too hard, bring it to me. And I will hear it. And again, you have to go in the solitude, the secrecy of your own heart before the Lord. Don't be like Jacob and try and deal with it. Try and mix prayer and plan. But oh, for that grace to simply go to Jesus and rest on him. For the Lord to deal with it. For as for God, his way is perfect. And it is indeed. A better rest wholly on him than to begin to mix our poor scheme. Well, beloved, we tried it, haven't we, if you're really honest. And we know the wretchedness of our schemes. But if the Lord works, the wonder of it, the beauty of it, he cannot make a mistake. He'll deal with thy affairs in such a way that he'll be glorified and you'll be helped. He'll deal with it in such a way. Yes, you may have an enemy like Esau coming at you, but the Lord knows how to deal with it. I believe the secret of what happened to Esau was here at Peniel. Jacob was taught and brought to wrestle with his God. The hearts of all men are in his hands. He passed on. And how did he pass on? How did he venture? You know, beloved, I believe dear old blessed Jacob, he limped away from Peniel. And every step told him, there's a weak sinner. Are you like that child of God? Oh, the Lord has had mercy upon you and blessed you, but you venture on. And every step there's something to tell you. You've got a body of flesh. You're a poor, weak sinner. You have to cry with David. There is no soundness in my flesh. Or perhaps with the Apostle Paul. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. They were both men of grace, weren't they? Men of God. And I believe dear old Jacob limped on like that. I wonder if he limped to the end. Every time he felt it, he remembered Peniel. But he's reminded he's in the flesh. And we are. Child of God, it'll be like that till the end. We're in the flesh. There's a conflict within. A conflict between the spirit and the flesh. And I believe dear old Jacob well knew that. Well, we know he did as he journeyed on. And think it no strange thing, child of God, it's the same with you. As you journey on. Like David, like Jacob rather. Has the Lord touched you? That affliction? Those things that vex you and show you what you are? And yet at the same time, you can't deny the Lord hasn't had mercy on you. Oh, the conflict. I believe that followed Peniel. Followed dear old Jacob, I wonder, until at the end he worshipped leaning on the top of his staff. That's how he come to his end, didn't he? His thoughts, his prayers were heaven, were glory. And all of it would be done. It'd be a wonderful thing, child of God, when at the end, when this poor sinful body is raised by the Lord, when this corruptible puts on incorruption, this mortal puts on immortality, body and soul are united in perfection. What a day. But until, we shall limp on like dear old Jacob. And may the Lord have dealings with us on our own, in the solitude of our hearts and souls. He can reprove us and rebuke us and strengthen us and help us quietly in the night watches. Oh, to know more of it. And Jacob was left alone.